Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box. I'm not a Krusty Krab.
What is up, everybody? Greetings and salutations. Sorry I'm a bit late. It is yet another cold and rainy April 4th, 2024. It is, it is cold outside. I do not like it. I'm actually like, I think my grandmother used to use the phrase chilled to the bone. I feel like I have some of that happening right now, actually. Not a fan. Not a fan at all. I know we've talked about it before, about climate change, and despite it not being real, apparently, it has a lot to do with a lot of the energy in the atmosphere making these very large storm systems, and, ones that can last like 3 days without being a hurricane, or whatever it was when I was a kid. But here we are. Had to cancel soccer practice last night because it just would not stop raining, and I'm not a big fan of having the kids play in the cold and rain. It's also supposed to be like an extra 15 degrees warmer this time of year, and it just isn't, man. It's just, I mean, I'll take a cold spring over a frozen winter, like, if that's the trade-off I gotta make, but man, even I could use a little warmth, and I am not that guy. I do not like heat. I like being able to wear a hoodie, so I'm very happy in that respect. But man, I am just chilled to the bone. But enough about me. let's get to the show, shall we? We've got a little light housekeeping here that we can kind of get to. There's a brand new top 20 out today this morning. I saw that it published. But I did not get a chance to actually review it. Honestly, I don't even remember. I'm so tired these days. I don't even remember what the show is about other than the notes here. Where I just talk about some of the moron confidence that's going on in the world. That feels like it could be almost any show. But I was talking about paraphrasing versus lying because somebody made a comment about that, which is just, you know, like the trying to argue out stupid is just, I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm really sorry that education failed a lot of people. Like, I really am. Like, I've thrown everything I possibly can in education, including, you know, starting with my own and, you know, making sure that I took school seriously and I went to college and I paid for college. Like, you know, I took it responsibly. I tried to not take it for granted. All my kids have done some college. We've been giving them as much support as I can through school. Even somebody like Charlotte, who has really worked outside the system to try and get the best possible education she has, and I believe she has. I think she has actually achieved the best possible education she could get, and is incredibly far advanced of her beyond her peers simply because she's advanced into college and, you know, math academies and stuff like that. Like, I'm not even blowing smoke, just factually, like, what she is exposed to is just far beyond what kids her own age are doing in public school. So I feel like educationally, like, I've done what I possibly can, like, on my little slice of the pizza here. But, man, I don't even know, like, what to make most of it. And I try not to be too terribly judgy, but, like, there's just something so funny to me about watching something that's inherently incorrect and then watching it spelled with a bunch of typos. You know what I mean? Like, the correlation there. But it's not just that. Like, I'm pretty good with the typos, certainly towards the end of the day. I've noticed that since I hurt my hand that it's been more and more problematic. I was just reading the chat. Good. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for watching the video for keeping here. Yes. It's become more and more problematic, and I just don't type as well. Like, I've explained it before. Like, I have I definitely have some nerve degeneration in my neck, and it's causing problems with my index finger, and it's like kind of, it's like an asleep feeling, but it's also like some numbness and some pain, but the biggest problem is like pressure, and like I don't have any fine dexterity in it anymore, which is weird for your index finger, right? Especially as a guitar player. Like, I burn my finger constantly because it'll be on something hot and I won't feel it right away. Like, that's kind of what it's up. So, when I'm typing, like, I rely on my sense of touch. So, I screw up that all the time. Because a lot of times I don't press hard enough, or I'll press too hard, I'll double up on it. It's not important. Me and my typos are not important. Not currently. It's not what we're talking about. I just, like, it's really just sort of the education and intelligence and diploma divide. Like, they're related, but they're not the same thing. I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't super intelligent that have diplomas. Like, it's a statistic with which you can kind of measure some things, right? Because people are always like, you know, well, you know, numbers and figures and stats, like, you can make them say anything you want. Like, yeah, you can, but, like, statistics really do have a place, you know, in your day-to-day existence, right? Trying to figure things out. Like, it's important to know. Like, if you know that there's, like, a 47% chance that Taco Bell is going to make you sick after you eat it, like, you know, that's an important stat, you know? Arguably, it's significantly higher than, say, an apple or, like, you know, yogurt or something like that. Like, those are important statistics. And, like, if people, you know, those correlations and stuff, like, the people argue against, like, the causality of, like, I don't know, I feel like I'm all over the place today, but, like, people might remember the R.J. Reynolds lawsuits with tobacco and cancer, and they're like, you know, people that smoke cigarettes, like, they, you know, that causes cancer, and R.J. Reynolds was like, well, you know, you don't know about causality and statistics. It could be that people that get cancer are more likely to like to smoke, which is, you know, as a human being, like, you look at that, it's like, is it though? Like, is that really, like, what you just said? But, like, yeah, that's exactly what stats do. They, you know, correlations, you can just kind of correlate, you know, you can't, they're not really predictive. But I will say, like, man, I do see a lot of political stuff that is just poorly worded, usually with the wrong words, and then everything is misspelled, and it's like, you know, how much more likely are you going to take that, you know, the person seriously, like, if they can't even get their sentence across, right? You know? And the reason I mention that is because one of the pieces of feedback that I'm getting from the right-wing hate sphere is every time I say something and, like, it publishes out, like, one of those shorts from the show, I get a lot of pushback about, like, can't even articulate a full sentence, or, sorry, articulate is way too big a word for them. Can't, you know, insults so-and-so, but can't even get through a sentence. It's like, okay, first of all, I don't have a script. I'm literally talking, you know, off the top of my head, like, I'm shooting from the hip here. My thoughts are kind of live streaming, like, I just really am talking in a live sort of streaming way, which is why a lot of times my show meanders around topic to topic, so I know that, and I know as I pause to think and say stuff, I do it so that I'm saying the correct words, right? You know what I mean? Like, trying to get my thought out and trying to get it out properly. I'm not Eminem here. I'm not like this major wordsmith that can just drop some knowledge on you and make it rhyme real fast. It's just not what I do. I tend to be a little bit more thoughtful and introspective and, like, try and say what I'm trying to say. But it's just so much fun, so funny the amount of backlash I'm getting because I insulted, like, Fox viewers and stuff. Like, I quoted statistics, and people are like, oh, that study's been debunked. I'm like, you know, by who? By Fox? Yeah, okay. Like, all right, like, sure, whatever. Like, you can debunk any study you want. Like, the sheer volume of information about, like, the intellect, intelligence, and diploma divides, not to mention the misinformation divides, with Fox viewers and other viewers of other, you know, news agencies. I mean, Fox is way better than, like, Newsmax and OAN for the intelligent quotient of its listeners, and, of course, the misinformation divide. Like, You know, like, that whole case that came out, like, with Dominion and, like, you know, the insurrection about, like, all the Fox here, and they got, like, all their text messages, and, you know, they were basically just admitting that they were lying to people, like, and people were believing them. And the best part was that people were believing them even after they were, like, you know, Tucker Carlson was like, yeah, we're basically lying to these people or whatever, and people still believe them. And the reason that is because they want to believe them. We talked last week about the confirmation bias. By the way, if you missed the top 20 last week, like, the second half of it, so I guess the bottom 10 of the top 20, I thought was really, really good. When I'm talking about that, the short and the kind of recap on the study that I'd watched about confirmation bias, I put the link in the video description on YouTube. So I really encourage you to you know, even if you're not going to listen to what I had to say about it, at least watch the 5 minutes of it, because it was just super interesting about how people are doubling down on information these days when they believe in it. Like, that's what they're using their intelligence on. So I don't think that that's going to get any better anytime soon. So I feel like it's important to sort of acknowledge that and understand that in the world. I know it had a lot to do with my pulling back off of Facebook and social media. It has absolutely everything to do with me not engaging in comments anymore on any of the Hard Rock Lunchbox shorts. I do still do the Strangerhood TV. That's why I kept that separate. And, you know, I will get to comments on there. I usually get to do them on the weekends. I didn't get to do it this weekend because I was just so busy with the show and stuff. But I usually, like, because I try and take time and actually, like, answer them. Like, obviously, if somebody's like, yo, rock on, I'll be like, yeah, man, thanks. You know, like, that I can kind of answer in a little while. But, like, you know, sometimes there's some thought-provoking stuff. And honestly, I don't know if you know this, but not everybody has a podcast. So I do try and take what they say seriously and read it. And I always am going to try and learn from them because I think that's super important. But anyway, so that's the top 20. That's the one that's out today. I had something I wanted to talk about, and I'm just drawing a complete blank, unfortunately. But yeah, so you should check that out. I feel like that was something. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe it'll come back to me. Maybe it won't. I do want to take a couple minutes and speak in some gratitude about our show this past Saturday night up at the garage at Lucy's in Pleasantville, New York. I know I was talking ahead of time about being grateful for even being offered the show and being asked to be on it. That's a big shout out and thank you to my friend Dave from 10 Ton Mojo, who I've known for absolutely ever. They were awesome, by the way. They were fantastic. I mean, I know the kind of like the bent on 10 Ton Mojo is that it's like kind of like an older rock, but it's, I don't know that it's, I don't, like, it's older in the sense that people were doing it, you know, decades ago, but it's not out of date, you know what I mean? Like, people, there's a market for it, people are absolutely listening to it. Like, is it cutting edge electronica post-hardcore? Absolutely not. Nor would I ever expect it to be. It's you know, you got two guitar players playing both Les Pauls, you know, long hair, hippie people, Need Not Apply. Like, that's exactly the band that they are, and it's exactly the job that they do. And they consistently do it well. I used to talk about my friends in the band Station and about how their whole genre was like, you know, the sort of 80s arena hair rock. And what I liked about them is that they're still writing new music. Yes, it's still in that vein. But because they're writing new music and not basically recycling and rehashing old music, it's still fresh. Like, there's a nuance. There's a fine line and a way to walk that, that makes it possible. And I feel like 10 Ton Mojo does that all the time. I know I was totally joking with Dave about Broke Some Hearts in Memphis, because they have a section that's like a breakdown where they have, like, you know, some female backup singers, and they didn't have them at the show. And I'm like, what's up, man? Like, you gotta bring that in. That's like super important to the song. He's like, I know. Like, you know, it's just funny. But you know, so they did a fantastic job. And the band that closed the night, Hunter Road, really good band, solid band for sure. But also, like, I don't want to say surprisingly nice guys, but I feel like that's not fair. They were just nice guys, really cool dudes, really cool band. And it surprised me, because I have not been afforded those courtesies a lot lately, locally here. And you know, I really want to point out, like, kind of like how much of an eye-opener it was. But, like, not new information, just old information that was, like, I was being reminded of by being in a place like this. For those of you that are local to, like, our home area and stuff, I'm not sure the best way to describe the club to you. I guess in vibe and essence, it would be the closest to, like, Evenflow, the way Evenflow was. Possibly the original rail, the Crooked Rail, I guess, in East Northport. That sort of vibe, right? So they had a, you know, a good stage. They had good sound. They had a good sound person. They were like, it was really important to them to actually do a correct show. Like, load-in is, there's a load-in, like, right by the stage. There's a door to go to the basement where all the gear go. Like, you know, things are kind of thought out. I know anybody that ever performed at the Room in Connecticut when it was open, like, that place was designed for musicians, right? Like, you came in on the one side, you loaded up on the stage, you loaded off on the other side. There was, like, a little green room and stuff like that. Like, they knew what they were doing because they were musicians, and they did exactly that. So the Garage at Lucy's is very much like that. Like, it feels very good to be on that stage. Sound was incredible. The sound guy was incredible. Like, so, like, monitoring was everything. Was just perfect. I heard absolutely everything on and off the stage. I had seen a couple of videos. Well, I saw the other bands play, obviously. I had seen a couple of videos that Tony's wife had taken of our band. It's like you could hear absolutely everything. So it was just really, really super nice. But, like, you know, we got there early. I'm not super fond of having to get the club super early if there's not, like, a guaranteed payment for that, because it's just like, why do I got to be here at 5 o'clock? Like, the fact that, you know, the closing band had to be there at 5 o'clock and didn't get off stage till midnight, like, I've never really been a big fan of that. I understand why they do it. I'm still not a fan of it. But some places are like that, and that's the game you have to play, and that's the deal. And that's fine. I'm not going to speak ill on that because I know the deal going in, and I've accepted it and all that other stuff. But, like, you roll in there. I will tell you one of the coolest things about this place. So, if you're standing in the back of the room, the stage is at the front, the bar is on the left, and then there's, like, a wall with, like, one of those rail tables, like, runs along the wall on the right. All the chairs were on the right side, as far from the bar as they possibly could be. And I talked to the bar manager about that, because we were looking to find a place to set up merch, and he was saying the owner doesn't like the seats by the bar because people just park their ass in a chair, and they'll just sit at the bar and, like, not necessarily ignore the bands, but, you know, you've seen people at the bar. So they kind of ignore the bands, but they also block up the bar space. So if people just have to stand there, they can lean in and get a drink. I will tell you, they had two bartenders working all night, and, like, I could get a drink pretty much whenever I wanted. There wasn't a whole lot of wait time. Like, they were really killing it. So they were, like, the idea that, you know, they weren't putting seats by the bar, I thought was a really very pro-band sort of thing, which I thought was cool. The fact that, like, the bartenders knew what they were doing, and they were really just killing it in terms of their job, like, I thought was awesome. Like, every experience was good in this place. They had food. Bands got, like, a discount on food. I didn't have any of it, but, like, bands got a discount on food. Like, it was just good. And the, like, the creme de la creme of it all, it's our first time at this venue. It's actually, I believe, our first time ever playing in Westchester, like, as a county. So we had a couple people come, and I'm super, super grateful for the people that did come. I know that Ten Ton had asked some of their fans to stop by early to check us out. And when we were setting everything up, our original set time was like 8:30. And then the guy that was kind of running things, he was like, hey, do you mind if we push back to 8:45 in case there aren't enough people here for you to go and play on? Now, that sounds like it should be part of every single show. It isn't. It just isn't. Like, that's not a common courtesy that people afford the opening act, especially one from out of town. And I was super grateful to get it. We ended up starting at 8:40. We actually started at 8:40 on the dock. There was, like, a big-ass clock, and I can monitor it. And, you know, we were like, 8:40. We were Rebel 9, and we went right into San Jose and stuff like that. So, but it was, It was a nice thing to be asked. It bought us like 10 minutes, but I will tell you, like, as doors opened at 8, like, people came in. Like, it's, I don't know what the town is like. I don't know if, like, this is the only game in town and that's why people were showing up. But, like, by the time we hit the stage, there were 40 to 50 people in the room. And again, this is our very first time in this place, this venue, this location, this county. And there were people that were definitely there to check us out. And there were people that were super interested to check us out. Like, we started, they gave us a look, and they spent the entire 45 minutes of our set, like, watching our set, or 40 minutes of our set watching our set, which is awesome. Like really, really awesome. And then, like, as I walk off stage, we take all of our stuff downstairs, we get off. I'm walking through the room because I'm going to put my briefcase away, and the bar manager, he like reaches out his hand. He's like, "You guys slayed it." Sound guy was super into it. The staff was super into it. A bunch of people in the audience had taken pictures, so they were showing us the pictures they had taken. These are all things that people that are into a band do. Like, if you suck ass up on stage, like, people aren't going to be interested in in talking to you after. They're certainly not going to be like, "Look at this great picture I showed you." Like, people were asking because I made an announcement about Keep You Near and, you know, all the 100,000 plays and about Aaliyah being brand new. And people were like, "What was the name of that song you said was brand new?" And I'm like, "It's this, you know, it's Spotify." I said something about Napster from the stage. Some dude was like, "I love Napster." I'm like, "Yeah, go up on Napster. You can find Aaliyah right now." Like, you know, that sort of engagement. Like, these people were interested in, like, I know New York City and the boroughs are kind of always been famous for, like, being too cool for school and stuff like that. But, like, the simple fact is that Long Island is getting very much like that, too. There's a lot of people that just don't even bother to give the bands the time of day that are out there playing. And I understand that people are busy and sometimes people just want to hang with their friends and stuff like that. I really do get it. Like, I really do. I would argue that it is such a much better experience when you kind of come together and do the thing that you're doing. Now, I was not at the Pathmaker show, but I know it was basically like a big collection of everybody that's, you know, friends with each other in the scene. So I'm hoping that that's kind of how that went down and that everybody watched, you know, or checked out at least, you know, all the bands and stuff and were supportive of each other and all the other things. I mean, I do know that the last time I played, like, at the Unplugged at Nostalgia, like, I did not get that. I did not get the respect of, like, attention from most of the room, unfortunately. And then, you know, people just leaving. Now, there's reasons for that, and I've talked to people, and I've talked to Jimmy about it. It's like about it running extra late and all that other stuff. And, you know, other people had said, like, it was probably just too late for a Friday, and, like, that could very well be. I'm just saying, like, it was sort of like the peak of that I've been seeing. And, you know, I've seen it at other places with other bands, you know, especially when you mix bands that are really not maybe good to be playing together. Like, a lot of people are like, "Oh my god, I'm getting out of here, so I'm not gonna watch that." I understand that. Like, you know, I've had a lot of that where bands just, like, hang out outside. Like, even me, like, I try and not speak so much before I play, but I'm usually sitting there watching the bands. The only time I won't do that is if people are actively talking to me before I perform, because I don't shut up, obviously. If you're a fan of this show, you know that. So I don't shut up a lot, and it's bad for my voice. I don't know why I can sing for 3 hours, but I can only talk for one, and I don't know. It's just kind of a weird thing, but it was so nice to be a part of a scene and a situation where people were happy to see you. Like, I just met most of these people, and they were happy to see us. One of the funnier interactions is after we were playing, we were talking to this couple, older couple, that was, I guess they had missed us or they saw our last song. We closed with Another Mistake, by the way, so if you know the band, like, you know, like, that's kind of a pretty good, like, you know, check us out kind of card afterwards. But they were talking, and they were like, you know, he was like, "Sorry, we missed you. We go to all these local shows. We'll definitely see you next time." And I was like, "Well, they said they were going to have us back, so whatever." And he's like, "Okay, you guys on Instagram? I'll follow you on Instagram." I was like, "Yep." Instagram comes right to me. I'm not super fast with it. It usually takes me a day or two to kind of catch up on social media stuff, so I'm not ignoring you. Just, like, you know, message me. It'll come right to me. It's a human being. It's not some service. But we were talking to them, and we're just sort of talking about what they like. So I hand them the Razor Blade Diaries CD. I'm like, "It sounds like this is, like, right up your alley. Like, more bluesy based, more rock based." Like, and he's like, "Oh, I, you know," it's like, "I really appreciate that." And then he starts talking about the other album, about Do No Harm. And I hand it to him. He's like, I want to pay for it." I'm like, "All right, how about $3? And he gets mad at me. I'm like, "Okay, $5. Like, you know, CDs really aren't something that we're able to sell unless we sign them. Like, the vinyl's always full price, but like $5 for the CD. And he takes out a 20 and he drops it on the table. He's like, that's what we're doing. And I was like, all right, well, you want to play that game? So I picked up the Reality Crush. I'm like, well, then you're taking this and you're getting all three as a hat trick for $20. And like, honestly, we still make money as a band because of that. But I feel like that interaction made a fan probably for life, which is awesome. And I said everything else you can hear on Spotify. And like, don't forget, we've got a live record coming out pretty soon and another single. Like, all that stuff. Like, I was excited to talk to these new people because they were excited to talk to me about the band. Like, it just, it was a nice reminder of what's actually out in the world. And I realized that, like, I have not been putting my best foot forward here in the local scene for quite some time. There are reasons for that. Aside from which, like, I'm just tired of being sidestepped by everybody. And, like, if I'm not wanted to be included in what's going on locally, like, I can take a hint. Like, I just need to know if it's with intention or if I'm just constantly slipping people's minds. And by me, I don't mean me personally. I mean my band, like Rebel Nine. Like, why are we being sidestepped all the time? And, like, you know, I've heard some reasons of, like, you know, well, we can't have this band and this band because you bring the same crowd. And yet, like, I spent 2 years building exactly that so we would bring the same crowd so the crowd would have, like, a really good time. So that argument never really flies with me because I fly in the face of that and have very successful shows, or have had very successful shows doing exactly the opposite and not have it always be a fan grab or a money grab or whatever. But like, I can't make people just take on my philosophy because I asked them to, so like, that's fine. But like, my point is that stepping out of that for even just a moment was such a good reminder of what it can be, what it should be, and what it was for a very long time while I was really trying to push that agenda. I thought it was important. I still think it's important. I may be too old and too tired to make it all happen, but it doesn't mean that it's not there, and it doesn't mean that it's not worth fighting for. So I do hope that if any bands are listening to me right now, they take that to heart and listen to what I'm saying, because it makes a difference. It makes the scene better. Anybody that was around over the past 10 years must remember what it was like, because it was really great. Like, we did some great stuff, and I think we should probably try and do that again. I know I can't do it by myself, and honestly, I don't want to anymore. It's just too much, and it's not fair to me. It's not fair to my band to actually be doing all that heavy lifting. So it's time for some other people to step up, and if they don't want to, that's fine. I guess we can just go play elsewhere, and that's going to be fine too, because we had a really good time with a couple of really great bands, and it's nice to be a part of that. But that's my top 20 for today, kids. Speaking of local bands I happen to adore, it's a little all new episode, and we'll start the box.
Yeah. give you a rundown of proper
hard rock lunch box
technique.
Good afternoon, we're gonna have a great
hard rock lunch box
today.
Trying to speak to me, I know it!
I haven't heard anything from 18th and Addison since they went out to Las Vegas. They're still together. I mean, Kate and Tom are a couple. So I don't think there's anything stopping them from doing it. I just haven't actually seen anything from them. But it's all right. We've got a lot of music from 18th and Addison, including this one, Like Porcelain on the Box.
Massacre or massacres, and it feels like now. Why'd you run out on me?
Because you're not quite evil enough. Well, it's true. You're quasi-evil. You're semi-evil. You're the
hard rock lunch box
of evil. You're the Diet Coke of evil. Just one calorie, not evil enough.
So as I was saying, we were up at the garage at Lucy's this past Saturday night. We were up there, obviously, Rebel 9, 10 Ton Mojo, who got us on the bill, and the band that closed, Hunter Road, who were based out of White Plains, so they're kind of in the area. I think that might be exactly the area. I really should know my New York geography a little bit better, but that's just how little we've actually played in this particular area. Like I said, I'm going to try and get to know that better and better. But like I said, like, they were a super cool band. Anyway, like, they warmed up. I think their sound check was Wicked Garden, which is always good for me. Like, I I'm a sucker for some good stunt double pilots. Like, sue me. It's just, you know, whatever. It's too bad. It's like, it was definitely like wanted to hear it. It's like, yeah, yeah, okay, this, yeah, this is good. I'm digging this. Because, like, I know I come out, like, really strong against, like, cover bands and stuff like that. Because they're, usually it's because of their attitude. It's really the, what really rubs me the wrong way. Because just because you're in a cover band and able to produce music that other people have done does not make you a talented musician. Like, it just doesn't. Like, it does, certainly doesn't make you a talented songwriter, and it certainly doesn't entitle you to all the extra money you seem to get in this little space that we're playing here on Long Island, which always rubs me the wrong way. But it's always the arrogance that comes with some of the band. Not all of them. And not all of them at all. And I always give tribute bands, like, a little bit of a pass anyway, because they're doing more theater than they are doing music. Also, tribute bands tend to be really good at what they do, so, and cover bands do not. Cover bands make mistakes that really would get you thrown out of Rebel 9, so I'm not a big fan of that. Anyway, I'm not super interested in cover bands as a form of music. Just not. A good and a well-placed cover tune, however, all day. Just talking about it in the chat, actually, on 99WNRR, if you are so inclined. But I was saying that, like, I always enjoy putting a cover in a set just to give people something that they absolutely know and they can sing along with, especially if we do, like, something kind of cool or creative with it. We were actually just talking about covers at band practice the other night, and my drummer bet me $200 that we had never covered Corduroy from Pearl Jam. He bet me, I don't know why, he thought in his drunken stupor it would be a good idea to bet me for anything, but he did, you know, and he was wrong. So the next day I showed him, like, not only did we play it once, we played it twice. We played it once at the Rail, we played it once unplugged. Now, he might have missed the unplugged one, but I was arguing, saying that there was no way I would know how that song goes unless we covered it, because I would not have learned it otherwise. I'm not somebody that learns songs for fun anymore. I'm not a teenager. I don't have that kind of time to do that really anymore. And I'm not slamming anybody that does. That's not what the teenager thing. I meant, as a teenager, I had extra time to do those kinds of things. That's fine. But, yeah, so we'll see whether or not I get the $200. To be perfectly honest, between you and me, I'd throw that $200 right to the band fund if he insists. But I don't want to take his money, because it's like taking candy from a baby, man. I just, it's not something I really, really want to do. But I do like putting in covers. I really love when we put in a cover and the audience really responds well to it. I feel like that is actually the biggest problem I have, because, like, if we can't do a cover, the audience is absolutely going to lose their minds over, like, I don't even want to do it. Now, that bar is incredibly too high. Like, it's just too high. And it's not something I can withstand. I think for the Beery show, we're going to probably do a cover. We were talking about trying to do a new cover, but we're in pre-production again tonight, which means we only have 4 at most practices before the Beery show. And we'll probably be working on pre-production stuff tonight, but also the following practice if we make any changes, because we're looking to start recording drums in the beginning of May. We're going to try and get those drums done before our Shakers show at the end of the month. So I don't think we'll be able to put a new cover together, but we might be just doing one of our old ones, which are always fun too. Like, I don't mind having them in the chamber there to, like, launch out. People like hearing them. And I guess as long as people like hearing them, we'll just keep going. But anyway, so Hunter Road, they opened with Wicked Garden, and they were just a solid rock band, like just a good performing rock band. I was really digging watching them. They were a good band to close. And at the end of the night, as we were leaving, I was loading up the van. I pulled the van around to the side of the building. Like I said, there was a loadout door, like, right by the stage, so I pulled the van over there. Those guys were taking off, or 2 of the guys were taking off. They actually stopped at a light, and the singer came out and gave me a big hug. It was like, it's really nice meeting you. You guys were awesome. And I was like, right back at you, and I will see you again soon. So, like, you know, from a band I didn't know 5 hours earlier or whatever, like, that's awesome. Like, that's the kind of stuff, like, that nourishes me as a musician and as somebody that wants to be part of a scene. Like, I feel now closer to the Westchester scene than I do here, and that's messed up. But it's in no small part because these guys were a good band and they were cool dudes, and I really appreciate it. So I grabbed what I could from them off Spotify. The song's called Faded. Looks like it came out last year. It'll just give you a little bit of a taste of Hunter Road on the Box.
Let's work on your execu-speak. I'm worried about blank.
Don't you worry about blank. Let me worry about blank.
Good. I also would have accepted...
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
You're not looking at the big picture!
This wasn't yours to push away. Took everything from me to leave. So you think you were right now. I guess you never did believe. Sure as the light returns the day. Only you can lose the blue. Made a brain. Wow, you were right again. I only wanted to believe. Sure as the light returns the day. Only you can lose the blue. In your eyes, you save me from memory from this place. Wasn't yours to push away. Took everything for me to leave. So you think you were right now. I guess you never did believe. Sure as the light returns the day. Only you can lose the blue.
So why am I playing that sound? That is an excellent question. Does anybody have a guess as to why?
It's always a no!
Yeah. Well, I have with me breaking news of sorts. So as you may or may not have heard, my buddy Andy, friend of the show, friend of the scene, Andy Sexton and his band Off the Turnpike are back together. They are putting out, they're doing a show. I wish I could tell you when. I know it's going to be in Brooklyn, but I know it's not right now. So it's in the future at some point, but you can definitely check with Andy and maybe he'll message me and tell me when his show is, and then I'll tell you when his show is. But I know it's coming out. But they're also putting out new music, and if you didn't know that, I'd forgive you, because how would you unless I told you? But I just told you. But now that I've told you, I also have a super duper extra pooper surprise for you, and that is Andy has just sent me the lead single from the new record, and I guarantee you he did not get approval from the rest of the band, because he doesn't need it. I probably should have gone with, like, you think Andy needs permission from the rest of the band?
It's always a no!
You're goddamn right, it's always a no. See, that's a way better. That's a way better sound. So, yeah. Does anybody even remotely give a shit what I have to say? Point is, I've got brand new Off the Turnpike, which I didn't even know was coming. I never even heard it. I literally just downloaded it and brought it over to this computer. I have not heard it. Could it suck? Yeah, maybe. Will it suck?
It's always a no!
Yeah. Is everybody ready? I got brand new off the turnpike. It's called Did It Wrong. And it's on the box.
Something quite more plain. Took the raid and wrote it down and I framed it, threw it out and lit the shit aflame. Oh man, I think I did it wrong. I should have listened to my mom. So jaded and said to roll the papers easy. White is all my favorite when I smoke. Slow faded, thinking back to the days when I had mastered the way of being broke. Oh man, I think I did it wrong. I should have listened to my mom. Do-do-do-do, yeah, yeah.
Number three, you will not cry, or whine, or laugh, or giggle, or sneeze, or burp, or fart. So, no annoying sounds, right?
Does this count as annoying?
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Very.
Yes. endeavors would last forever, but it's all caught up to me. I'll take the ball. It's almost over. Life as I know it, it's almost over. Is this the end? Is this the end? It's almost over. It's the end. It's almost over. I had my fun. Life as I know it.
It's come undone.
It's almost over.
I had my fun. Is this the end? Is this the end?
It's almost over.
I had my fun.
Life as I know it.
It's come undone.
It's almost over.
I had my fun. Is this the end? Is this the end?
It's almost over.
A little bit for lack of a term there. Let's move right on into some brand new hard rock kind of stuff. I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but I did see that Wage War put out a brand new single, so I just grabbed it. So yeah, I'm hoping it's not going to suck, but it probably won't suck. So like, let's just bank on that. But it's brand new Wage War. It's called Magnetic. It's on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
A little bit from Silverstein right there. It's Madness going back a couple of years for sure. I think it's a couple of records. Might actually just be the one record. No, it's definitely another record before that. So, definitely digging on that song. So I pulled this song. I actually got this wrong. Because the song is called Ghost from the band Archetypes Collide, and I just wasn't paying attention. I thought it was the band Ghost, and I was like, oh, I like this song a lot better than most Ghost songs. I'm not a Ghost hater. I'm not even a Ghost hunter, actually, if you want to know it all. But they're not my favorite band, but I like some of the stuff they do. But like, I was like, oh, this is a really good song. And then I was reading it today, and I was like, wait a minute, that's not the band. The band is Archetypes Collide, and the song is Ghost, and I really like it. So I grabbed it for you on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Here's a little something from Forever the Sickest Kids on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Yeah, it sounded angry. The band is called Banks Arcade. The song is called Roulette. Where the hell is my bed? There it is. Ha. It's called Naked Without It, man. Nobody needs that. Nobody needs that. Yeah, got a couple more things. I didn't get Jack off of Discover Weekly or Release Radar this week. Unfortunately, I had to go into the Hard Rock and the Core playlist to pick up some of these new ones. I forget which one this came from. The band's called The Requiem. The song's called Cursed. I kind of liked it. Thought you might too. It's on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Let's wash it away from the ghost inside. You know, one thing I was actually just remembering about our show on Saturday night, there was a comment made. I don't remember who made it, because they made it to Kaz, and Kaz was telling me about it afterwards, about how not that we were, what's the word, because it's the sentiment felt like we were all over the place, but it was the fact that we could just jump, that we were like sliding in and out of genres and tempos like kind of easily and easefully, which is a huge compliment for a band to be able to sort of kind of play kind of outside their box. I was actually talking just this week about how kind of dangerous it is, I think to put yourself into a box and kind of back yourself into that box of the style of music that you are and surrounding yourself with bands that sound just like you, because there's no way to distinguish yourself from them, right? There's nothing memorable about you. And I go through that a lot with kind of like the younger post-hardcore screamo bands, and I'm not trying to offend absolutely anybody. I'm just saying that as it so happens, a lot of times I can't remember what band did what song because they sound all the same to me. Like when there is a certain nuance or a certain something, as Dr. Evil says, the French call I don't know what, that makes it somehow different. That's what causes things to stand out. That's what makes bands memorable. And I understand trying to sound like the bands that you want to sound like and then aligning yourself with them. But unless you're the absolute best at it, there's a limit to how far you can go. Yes, you'll spin up likes. Yes, you'll spin up listens. But it doesn't actually translate to asses and seats because you don't stand out. You don't make a difference. And I'm not saying that we're like super eclectic because we're not. I mean, we are definitely like hard rock and we have our sounds that we sound like. But like I am inspired by other bands around me. I like to be around different bands. And what that does is it allows me to write and allows my band to perform differently. And we can play different songs. We can play, like our set list was like a mix of new and old. We did three of the new releases, so that's Side Out, Into the Afternoon, and Aaliyah. We did the three songs we're about to record, which is End Us All, Run Through Me, and It's All Right. We did Senseless, because we were going to do a cover, but we decided to just do Senseless Tragedy, and then we did two bookend classics. We opened with San Jose, and we closed with Another Mistake. That is a wide breadth. I mean, that's music from like 2010, and it's 2024. So that's over the 14 years of just writing material for this band. So it's going to change anyway, but it's also wildly different. You know, and even like Paul, the drummer from 10 Ton Mojo, he'd said about San Jose, he's like, man, that song's a great song. And I appreciate the compliment, absolutely, for sure. But of course, like that tends to be a little bit more what a Mojo sort of audience would like, I think. I'm not 100% right. Sure that I'm right, and I'm probably not 100% right, but it is something that I look at when I write set lists, when I look at audiences. I'm trying to not necessarily please the audience, but also still stand out. So I want to capture their attention with something that sounds familiar, like the bands we're playing with, and then I want to hit them with something that's fairly significantly ours. I mean, I don't know anything else that currently sounds like something like Into the Afternoon with the pop and the falsetto and the hard rock and all that other stuff. I don't. I'm not saying we're breaking any ground because we're just too old to do that. But I'm just saying I can't think of anything that kind of sounds like that. The closest I've come to typecasting myself at all is I tend to pop a lot of falsetto lately, and I think it's just more of an accident than with any intention, but I am starting to get known for that, and I gotta tell you, I'm not super hating it. So what's my point of all this? My point is, I don't see any real value in just aligning yourself with the exact same sounding bands all the time. Find yourself bands that you can complement each other with, that you can kind of have a little bit of crossover, but there's something you can actually draw yourself out. Or what you can do is do something completely different that nobody ever does and just be your own thing. Kind of like this dude right here.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Yeah, man, May 25th will be the next time you see Revel 9 and Craving Strange on stage together. It's been long overdue. I can't even remember the last rock show we did together. Feels like a very long time. So it'll be fun to get the band back together. Actually, I guess get the bands back together. Right, Jimmy? Actually just messaged him saying about how nice it was that Willie actually came down to the show. And then Willie is just such a goddamn celebrity, man. that is just so fantastic. It's another thing I missed out by not being at the Pathmaker show, but that's all right. I'll catch up with Willie another time. Right, Willie? That was worth a shot. Well, anyway, it's time for this week's Weekly Craving of the Week with, of course, Craving Strange. I picked out a doozy for you. See if you can sing along at home.
Shake it off, another night to make it all. Feels so exciting, a hot kiss can start a fire. Whatever it is can make you high, and our mess when it's inside. It's so inviting, over and over. I want you all
change at all. Where we lie is where we fall. One more brick, make a wall. So much for finding out. Another night for you to cry. Another night to say goodbye. One more night is one more lie. It's so defining.
Still digging on Era for sure. Well, it is time for me to get on out of here. And because I forgot to play it earlier, I will definitely play it now. But I want to thank everybody for listening to the sound of my voice, taking a little bit of time out of your day to spend it here with us at the Hard Rock Lunchbox. We'll be doing this again next Thursday and for the foreseeable future, I'm sure. I'm thinking around noonish next week. And we'll just all meet back here. Bring your music, bring your ideas, bring your concept, and certainly just bring your love for everything that we try and do here and everything we try and hold golden here. And let's see if we can keep making things better. I'm already getting some positive feedback on some of the stuff I was saying earlier about kind of recreating like what it means to be part of this scene here. So who knows what that'll do in 2024. I mean, probably nothing, but we can give it a shot, right? At least for now, at least for this week. And then I'll see you next week.